Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Yep, I'm back after a week on the road, and I really appreciate Stan Friedman filling in for me last week as my guest host. We'll be working together as we enter the new year as co-hosts, so it's really an exciting time, and if anything, that was a great test run. Stan met with the co-founders of up-and-coming franchise Pino's Palette, and their co-founders with Charles Willis and Greg Cassante. Very interesting show, understanding things from the perspective of people that have been there and doing that in the world of franchising. They're closing in on their 100th unit within a very short period of time, so we wish them their continued success. And, of course, you can access that show and all shows from Franchise Today on blogtalkradio.com/Franchise Today Show. Again, thanks for their time and their willingness to participate in Franchise Today. And again, thank you, Stan, for filling in. It was really a much-needed thing as I did land in the airport later than the initial showtime. And, of course, I was visiting the Franchise Leadership and Development Conference in Atlanta last week, put on by our friends and our strategic partners on Franchise Today, which is Franchise Update Media Group. What a fantastic event last week, and I was really impressed by one of their keynote speakers, Peter Sheehan. If you ever have an opportunity to listen to this Aussie speak, he is fantastic. One of the best informative and engaging and entertaining speakers I've heard in a long time, and he talks a lot about change and change management. He really brought up something that really was my takeaway from the whole event, which is more is not better, better is better. Really stuck with me, and hopefully we'll be able to use some of his insight in our efforts as we expand the show. So I also want to thank again, you know, Gary Gardner and Therese Dulkin at the Franchise Update Group for continuing to put on some of the best conferences in franchising. And my best wishes to Therese, who was actually down with the flu through the events. We didn't get a chance to see her, and hopefully she recovered enough before they were able to take off for Europe at the end of the week. So that's our friends at Leadership and Development Conference, and we look forward to strengthening our partnership with Franchise Update Media Group. This week, tomorrow, I'll be off to the West Coast Franchise Expo, put on by our friends at MFV Expos. Another great event. Of course, this one, working with franchise candidates, there'll be hundreds of franchisors that will be promoting their brands at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California. Another great event on the tour of West Coast Franchise Expo South, and International Franchise Expo, which, of course, is in June in New York City. I'll be presenting on Friday at 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. in a symposium with Lee Plave and Therese Huska. If you're a franchisor and you're there and you have some time, I highly suggest attending that session, not because I'm presenting, but because of the topic, which is Web 2.0, social networking, and data in franchising. And in light of all the recent data breaches in business and specifically in franchising, I'm sure Lee Play will have some very interesting comments to make on that. So West Coast Franchise Expo, if you're going to be there, hey, let's hook up, let's have a drink, a cup of coffee, or just say a couple of great passing words. And I remind everybody to look at the IFA's newest website, you know, franchiseactionnetwork.com, and get involved. As we know, franchising is under attack at the state and federal level. It's really important that we all do our part. Also, if you're not yet a member of the IFA, please contact me or Paul Rocchio at your earliest convenience. If you're a franchisor, becoming a member of the IFA actually will pay for your attendance at the upcoming convention, not only this year but next year as well. So it really is a great value for new franchisors looking to attend. Of course, if you're a supplier, see me as well. Upcoming guests on the show, we're really packing up the lineup. Next week, Marianne O'Connell from FranWise will be calling in from the West Coast, and Marianne will be celebrating a very big milestone in franchising, and we'll talk about that. But more importantly, we're going to talk about women in franchising and some of the challenges and where they are today, because we have more and more females entering franchising, especially at the franchisee level. We have some very, very talented individuals at the C-level position throughout franchising, so we'll talk about that. On November 5th, the following week, I'm honored that Dr. John Hayes will be calling in from Dubai. We'll be live with him, and we'll talk about his upcoming book, which will be released on November 15th. And John really is a fantastic resource for individuals looking to get into franchising. And then we have a couple of open weeks, which we're finalizing some guests on the 12th and the 19th. We'll be replaying the day before Thanksgiving. And then on December 3rd, which is really going to be something coming out of the West Coast Franchise Expo, as I explained, our session on social networking and data. Tom Epstein from the principal at Franchise Payment Network and Lee Play will be my guest that day, and we're going to talk about data in franchising, data breaches, and what you could do as franchisors, what you need to do as franchisors to protect the data, the very valuable data that we receive from our customers. So, you know, Franchise Today is really rocking. We'll be starting our sixth year after the first of the year, which is real exciting. Stan Friedman will be my co-host for the new year. And we have a lot in store for you. We'll be bringing back our sixth annual Franchise Legal Series. Right now, the projections are that will be a 10-week series. We'll also have our fourth annual Franchise Finance Series. That'll be anywhere between 2 and 4 weeks. And then also our new Franchisor Spotlight Series. And, of course, we try not to be promotional on Franchise Today, so we're looking for franchisors that could explain to us, you know, some of the best practices that are used to be successful today. It's really important as we continue to work with emerging franchisor brands in light of all the aggressive attacks at the state and federal level. We want to make sure we get off on the right foot with these franchises, and of course, developing a culture is very important. It'll lead into, you know, today's guest. Very excited to have on the show today, Evan Hackle. Evan is the founder and principal of Engage Consulting, a consulting firm focused on improving the performance of franchises by improving the relationship between franchisees and the franchisor. He is also the CEO of Tortle Training, the largest provider of training to the franchise industry. Evan has over 30 years of experience in franchising, where he's helped start 3 different successful franchising systems. Evan, welcome to Franchise Today.
Paul, it's terrific to be here. I'm very much looking forward to the show.
Yeah, I think it's really going to be great. You know, it's a very hot topic that we'll be talking today, you know, better together by engagement. And before we go forward, although it's a non-promotional show, I think it's important for our listeners to understand, you know, where your focus is with Engage Consulting, because I know you're very passionate about, you know, culture and franchise relationships, but you also have a very unique approach through engagement. So if you can give me some of a high-level view of some of what Engage Consulting does, I think that would set the pace nicely for today's topic.
Thank you, Paul. And you are right. I'm tremendously passionate about this concept of better together. And what I have experienced in my background, and you know, you covered a little of it with the 3 franchise systems I started, but probably the most influential experience for me was I took over a franchise system with 200 franchisees, about $700 million in system-wide sales, and the system itself was in bankruptcy. And I, in 4 years, turned that system around and grew it to $2 billion in sales. We went from 200 franchisees to about 350 franchisees. And the experience that I had when everyone was working together and how profoundly that impacted the franchise business was just truly incredible. And then I later on took over a much larger $3.5 billion system, and I applied the same concepts to this very successful franchise system, and I started to watch that system take off and that system grow. So sort of philosophically, what the concept is if you actively involve everyone in the franchise system into the process of running the franchise system, and that everyone has a responsibility for the success of that system, that things change and how people act change. So what we did in the case of the bankrupt franchise system is we got the franchisees to be really involved in building the business plan and the strategic plan for the company and how the company would be successful. So the process of getting people involved was huge. We did all these town hall meetings all around the country where we got a lot of feedback and we reached out to people, but we also created a tremendous number of advisory councils. So we went out and we created a communications council. We created a marketing council. We created a council. This company, by the way, is named Flooring America. So they were in floor covering, and obviously they had salespeople, so we actually created a council of salespeople. We created a training council. We created an innovations council for people willing to try and experiment and do new things. Of course, we had a marketing council. So every area that we could think of that we could get franchisee input, we did. And by working with all these councils, working with the franchisees, doing these town hall meetings, we got such high levels of involvement. And when we finally developed the strategic plan and shared it with the organization, there was such strong support. So just to give everyone sort of a little feel or flavor, the company was in bankruptcy. The franchisees were livid. I mean, livid. And, you know, no one wants to be part of a bankrupt franchise system. I mean, you know, they all wanted out. And, in fact, the judge reduced the term of everyone's franchise agreement to 1 year. And they could leave and literally stay in the business. They just have to change the name of their business. So we needed to keep them. We had 202 franchisees, and 200 of them stayed. And we transitioned from this concept of fighting to this concept of better together. And it changed everything. And then we went further after the plan, we started getting all of our franchisees to work together in regional groups so that the franchisees were helping each other, and we kept the flow of information. And as we go through every year a process of tactical planning, we would get input so that everyone sat back and said, I'm a part of this, that they were owners of this process. And we were able to grow business, same store business, substantially. And the profitability of the franchisees grew substantially. And everyone could get that interconnection of how they all contributed to the success. So when I look at my consulting business, what I look at is opportunities on how the franchise system can better involve the franchisees in the processes that they're doing. And by doing that, they will get a much better information, they will produce better programs. And I think this is, and I know I'm going a little bit long here, Paul, but I think this is really important point. A franchise system is always better the more input they get from the system itself. And it's easy to sit there in the ivory tower, and I have to tell you, I was in the ivory tower until this experience before, and think, you know what, we kind of all know it. You know, we're hearing it. So, you know, the franchisees should just trust us that we know what we're doing. But the reality is when you involve people that are doing it, real-world people actually living it every day, in the process, you get better ideas. And then when you start working with them on the implementation, you get ideas that are more implementable. So it is such a huge part of the process. So we look at very conventional things that people do, but we look at ways to do them that are engaging with the franchisees so you get a better result and that the franchise system is much more willing to buy in to that result. Does that make sense?
It makes a great deal of sense, and I think it really is the backbone of what we talk about a lot, about interdependency of the franchise relationship. And certainly don't feel any qualms whatsoever about talking long about that. It's very, very important. And as a matter of fact, I'm almost embarrassed to come back with a short three-word question to you so that we can simplify this, you know, and that basically is, what is engagement in your mind? You know, what is engagement? Because I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Well, look, it's interesting. When I started this consulting business, the term engagement wasn't all that well known. And the word has sort of become, you know, very commonplace. People talk about the importance of engagement. But I do think that people look at engagement as like this, you know, a simple thing of, you know, communicating, involvement. But I think engagement's further. I think engagement is an active participation. It's when people look at that being part of that franchisee differently. So to me, an engaged franchisee is somebody that sits there and feels like they're a partner, and that they sit back and they feel like they're valued and they feel like what they do matters. An unengaged franchisee is a franchisee that feels like they're a customer of that franchise system. They're not bad people. They're supporting the system, but they don't sit back and say to themselves, this is me. I'm part of it. I, you know, if it succeeds or fails, I contribute to either direction. They sit back and they cross their hands and they look at management and say, what are you going to do? And that, in my opinion, is the relationship that most franchisor and franchisees have. When you can change that relationship and you create that engagement where the franchisee sits back and feels like that they're a partner, feels like what they say matters, feels like what they do matters, it changes the dynamic. And Paul, if I can, I'm going to just switch right in here and I'm going to share some interesting and incredibly powerful information.
Yes.
I work with Eric Stites at Franchise Business Review.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the largest survey of U.S. franchise systems, I should say North American franchise systems. We surveyed 24,000 franchisees and over 300 brands. And in this survey, we created what we call the Engage Barometer, and it's a measurement of engagement. So we don't ask people, are you engaged? That would be kind of silly. But we ask them questions and we score them to determine levels of engagement. So what we did is we took that grouping of 24,000 franchisees and we broke them into quartiles. So the quartile, the top quarter, and we compared it versus the bottom quarter. And so when we looked at engagement, and this is a very powerful and interesting statistic, we asked franchisees to describe their financial results. And they could, you know, describe them in any which way they wanted to. But we had this level of strong or very strong, which were the top two levels of how they could present their financial statements. And I think when a franchisee says their results are strong, that's a pretty powerful statement that they're making money and they're successful. Well, in the top quartile of franchisees that we determined were engaged, 70% of them resulted in saying that they had strong or better performance. The bottom quartile, that number was 19%.
Wow.
So there was a 3.8-time more likelihood that someone would have strong financials if they were recorded as being engaged. And you sit back and you say to yourself, well, why would that be? And what I would say to you is it's because the actions of an engaged person are different. So that engaged person is paying attention to your emails. They're going on your website. They're helping out other franchisees. They're fully participating in everything. They're not passively waiting. And when someone does that, when someone is that way, they are going to perform at a much higher level than somebody that's sitting back and just doing their business and just sort of waiting, well, what's next, as opposed to let me see what's going on, let me make sure I'm doing everything right.
Right.
And then, Paul, and then this is where the research becomes interesting, is, you know, a lot of times a lot of people say, well, okay, great, they're engaged, and I get that, and okay, I can even see they make a little bit more money, but how does this really impact the franchise system? And I'm sure, Paul, you're familiar with Net Promoter Score, but there are sure a few people on this call that aren't. But the Net Promoter Score is a system of measurement to determine how likely someone is going to recommend a business. And there was a professor at Harvard that developed it. And basically the question is, you know, how likely on a scale of 0 to 10 would you recommend a franchise system? And they take the top two, the 9s and the 10s, and these are the promoters. These are the ones that are going to actually go out there and make a big effort. And then they look at the 6 and belows and say, these are detractors. These are the people, if asked, that are going to say really bad things about your franchise system. And I've sold a lot of franchises in my day, and I know that when a franchisee says to a prospective franchisee, I wouldn't buy this franchise again, I wouldn't recommend it, you know, what does that impact sales?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, going back to the top quartile, they had a net promoter score of 48%, which is a huge, incredibly positive net promoter score.
Sure.
If you look at the bottom quartile, it was -78%. -78%,
wow.
Which is staggeringly bad. So
right.
What this tells us is if your franchisees are engaged and they feel like partners and they are actively participating at this high level, you're going to sell a ton of franchises. Because when someone asks them, they're going to say good things. You go further, they're going to find people and tell them, oh, you know, you're from Nashville. You know, I don't think we have a franchisee in Nashville. You should become a franchisee because they feel so passionate. And the reverse in that bottom quartile of engagement, these people are actively going out and telling people, the worst thing I ever did, you should never do this. You can't grow a franchise system if you don't have good engagement.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we refer to, you know, the relationship as a marriage, so to speak. And obviously, we know the first step towards marriage is engagement. And I often tell some franchisors, you know, in an underperforming environment, God, if this is how you treat family, I wouldn't want to be part of your family because there is no engagement whatsoever. You know, Keith Gearson, the president of FranConnect, wrote an interesting article in this month's Franchise Update magazine, and it was creating a culture of accountability. And, of course, and I think this even comes to light to an extent with all the actions going on, as I mentioned earlier in the show, at the state and federal level, as the attack is on the franchise relationship itself. And as you brought up, you know, that the franchisee will sit there and feel like, you know, they're an employee or something that's not part of the system, and they feel disengaged from the system. And he wrote that in key studies on organizational change, FranConnect and Bain & Company reported the following findings. It said a staggering 81% of those surveyed said they were not held accountable for regular progress on the goals, the organization's goals, and that the goals were not translated into specific actions. 87% had no clear idea what they should be doing to achieve those goals. Only 15% could name even one of the top three goals their leaders had identified, and the other 85% named what they thought were the goals. But that often didn't remotely resemble what their leaders had set, and only 51% could say they were passionate about the team's goals, leaving half the team simply going through the motions. And specifically about, you know, franchisors, he said 46% of franchisors don't have strategic plans in writing, nor are they shared with management teams, which is really unbelievable. 25% do not have core values, vision, mission statements in writing, nor are they shared. 25% of franchise organizations are without detailed job descriptions, and 38% have no formal evaluation in place. It goes on to say that it's no wonder then that the two most requested topics franchisors are seeking in a keynote or workshop are franchisee accountability and engagement, and that was according to Katrina Mitchell, CEO of Speak, the leading speaking bureau for franchising, of whom I know you work closely with. So, you know, this is something that is known. This is well known, but obviously it's got to take a lot of work to creating the culture where engagement is on the forefront. So with that in mind, you know, what does engagement with respect to franchise support, what does that actually look like in your mind?
Paul, you've said a lot of things here that I am just dying to chime in on.
Okay.
And if I can, maybe I will get to that as part of the overall comments here.
Absolutely.
Sharing the vision and the direction of a franchise system is the most important aspect of management. It's not just the most important aspect of management for your franchisees, but it's also true within your fellow employees. Everyone has to know where the organization is going. If people don't know where the organization is going, it is really, really difficult for a system to grow. And building a culture where everyone understands the vision and mission of the company is very difficult. And it really generally starts with the first mistake, which is a strategic plan is built by the board on some retreat with some key members of management. And, you know, board's smart, management's smart, but there is no buy-in, there is no feeling of support by either the staff or the franchisees because they weren't part of the system. It's natural human emotion when first faced and presented with information to question it and doubt it and wonder if this is a secret plan to get me. And so you have to start with everyone, your employees, all the stakeholders, your franchisees, and I'm going to go further here because I think this is important. The staff of the franchisees all need to be involved in helping the organization in some fashion build their strategic plan, and it's a very involved process. I've been fortunate enough to do this with, obviously within my own franchise businesses, but with some very good clients, and it's incredibly powerful. When you have everyone involved in the process, they're more open and receptive to it, but it doesn't stop there. And when I was running franchise businesses, and I do this within my small consulting firm and training company, is every time we have a meeting with everyone in the organization, we always start off with somebody sharing the mission, vision, and values of the company. We do not ask them to read them. I think, reading them is good, but I think it's even better when people talk about which ones matter the most to them and why do they matter most to them. So we ask everyone to share what they value the most and give examples of how they see it within the organization. And so by doing this, you create this culture with our employees in the franchise business, and we do it here also in my business. The first question on their review is, in your own words, what's the vision of the company? And the second question on the review is, how in your role do you help the company achieve that vision? And everyone, when they're hired, is given the review prior to starting work. So they know what the review is about. And in fact, we do a self-review, and then the manager does a review. And I can go on to why self-reviews are so important, but I won't. When you work with franchisees, a franchise consultant works with them, the conversation about the vision, how you're going to get there, and every franchisee should have their own business plan, which the company should help do. So having this feeling of shared, having a shared vision that everyone understands is so important, because I don't know how you move together when people don't know where the target is. To me, it's incredible, and I'm looking up my research here. The top quartile says that 63% of them say management provides a clear vision for the company. The bottom quartile says 9% say management provides a clear vision for the company. So you can see here that sharing that vision is a key component of how you get people to be engaged. Now I want to talk a little bit about compliance, which you brought up because I think this is so important. I am a huge compliance hawk. I believe in compliance, and I believe that franchise systems need to be very rigorous in the area of compliance. But I think I come at it from a completely, totally different point of view, so I'm going to take a second here and talk about this because I think that this is critical. Is when you look at compliance, the assumption is that franchisees don't like compliance. So when you go there and a franchisee has a sign, the sign's not just right, or the franchisee hasn't supported some new initiative that's in the store and everyone else is doing it, that the franchisee that you're saying, hey, you know what, you didn't do the sign right, you got to redo your sign or whatever. And I should back up and say compliance is critically important, but make sure your compliance issues are about things that really matter, not about things that don't matter. It doesn't make sense to enforce stuff that doesn't matter. But pick what it does matter and make sure everyone knows that, should be clearly stated in your agreements, and enforce it. But the reason why I disagree with the fundamental belief that franchisees don't like compliance, those that are in compliance hate it when management doesn't enforce compliance on others. And I don't have this in the study here, but I did this with my own franchisees, and we had an issue with signage, and we had made a major change in our signage program, and we'd given people a 3-year window, special financing to make this change, and we had about 8% of the franchisees that still hadn't done it. And I went around the country, and I did town hall meetings, and I asked people what they felt, and I mean, overwhelmingly, I heard from the 97, 98% that did it, how could you have asked me to do it and this person hasn't done it? And how in the world can we create a brand when my neighbor store hasn't done what they're supposed to do? And I think that people somehow look at that experience, that negative experience with the one you're enforcing on, because obviously the one you're enforcing on doesn't like it, okay? Because they chose not to do it, right? They inherently disagree. And there's a tendency always when you're managing to listen to that person and feel like, well, this must be everybody and et cetera. But what you're not hearing from is that silent group of people that did do it that are wondering why management isn't living up to its commitment. So to me, compliance is actually about supporting the franchisees. And it's supporting all the people that are doing the good things that they're supposed to be doing.
One of the best ways, so to speak, of turning a good franchisee into a bad franchisee is to not enforce, issues that that one has done and the other hasn't. Because obviously, like you say, they say, "Well, why did I do that?" And it has to do with the integrity of the system and the integrity of the trademark. We are live on Franchise Today. It's Wednesday, October 22nd. My guest today is Evan Hackel, the CEO of Engage Consulting and also the CEO of Total Learning. And we're talking Better Together by Engagement. And go on, Evan. I know you had some additional thoughts right before I took this break.
No, my pleasure. I just recently wrote an article for Franchise World magazine, and I might get the title a little bit, but I think it was Franchise Compliance, There's Light at the End of the Tunnel. And I think this is kind of, because your first question is tell me what you do in your practice. I think this is an excellent example of it. Franchise compliance is, generally speaking, a very difficult issue for management to deal with. For a lot of reasons, one of which is they typically like the people they're forcing to comply, and they don't want to create this adversarial relationship with this particular person. So applying the concept of engagement, what I did when I was a franchisor and what I help my clients do is create variance committees by the franchisees. So we would create a committee of franchisees to deal specifically with different kinds of compliance issues. So one of the big issues that we have, and to me is very important, So you need everyone to come to the annual meeting or convention because it's the best form of communication. So in our franchise agreement, it simply stated that if you missed the convention, there was a $1,000 fee, and if you missed it two times in a row, it was $2,000. Three times in a row, $3,000, etc. But there was a clause saying, you know, if there were legitimate extenuating circumstances, that you could get exempted from it. So what happened prior to involving the franchisees in this process is people would tell us anything and we would accept it because we weren't going to, you know, call them a liar. So what we did is we created a committee of franchisees. So a franchisee, and I don't want to get too much into the details because it will bore everybody, but the franchisee makes a request to the committee for a variance, and then the committee either approves it or denies it. So there was a really funny case, example, where a person said, look, I had every intention of coming to the meeting. Unfortunately, on my way to the airport, my car got in an accident and I couldn't make the plane. Now, this person hadn't registered yet. So they said, well, you know, you haven't registered yet. And he said, well, I was going to register there because, you know, I can register there and I'd plan on coming. And they said, you know what? You're approved. Just send us a copy of the airline ticket you had bought, and we will absolutely approve it. Now, of course, this person never bought the airline ticket because they were never coming, and the whole story was, you know, made up. But I can tell you management would have approved it and never had the guts to say to the person, send us a copy of the bill or the airline receipt, because we wouldn't want to be that confrontational. But the franchisees were, and it's much harder for the franchisee that's in violation to get mad when it's basically a group of their peers. And
if
people find this article, by the way, and I'm not going to go into it now, it actually tells pretty well step-by-step how to do this. It's very creative, but it really makes compliance much more palatable and moves smoothly in the system. And, you know, again, as I said before, the vast majority of your franchisees support your compliance issues. So I do think it's important. Okay, I am done answering that question.
Yeah. So that article is Franchise Compliance, A Light at the End of the Tunnel. It's in the September 2014 issue of Franchising World. And I'll go a step further and tell you it's on page 31. And it was a really great article. I'd like to also say that the following article was my article about positively memorable experiences. They're not just for customers. And I think that goes a long way with what we're talking about today in culture and relationships and engagement as well. Evan, as some of the people know, but not everybody knows, you and I work together on the IFA's Franchise Relations Committee. So if you would, give everyone a high-level view of what we do on the Franchise Relations Committee and how important it is to franchising in general.
The overall goal of the Franchise Relations Committee is to advocate for healthy franchisor-franchisee relations and share information and
okay, I think we have some technical difficulty. Okay, I seem to have lost Evan. I don't hear him on the line. So, it's really an interesting conversation that we're having, about engagement, culture, and franchise relationships. So we're going to see if we can get Evan back in here. Couple articles, in the Franchise Update magazine has created a culture of accountability. I think this is one in particular we really want to look at. And to see if we can patch Evan in here, because it's so Anyway, Evan, if you're listening in, you know, please give a call or, you know, call directly to my cell phone at 832-797-9851. You know, we're in a world of technology, good, bad, ugly. Sometimes it doesn't quite work the way we want it to, and it becomes a problem. So again, we're talking about accountability. We're talking about engagement. You know, and in Keith Gerson's article, you know, he brought up a very good point about culture change and how it must be led, and that you can't delegate the initiative to HR, you can't delegate it to operations or anyone else. You know, while these functions play important roles, the executive team must maintain ownership of the process. And that's really it's really important. You know, we must lead the culture change of the process, and make sure that every level of the organization, that it's prioritized correctly at the top of every management objective. So I see that we're trying to get Evan back in here right now. So anyway, you know, just to recap Evan's article, Franchise Compliance, Light at the End of the Tunnel, on page 31 of the Franchising World magazine. So, you know, it's really difficult not having Evan here right now. You know, he talks about in the magazine, you know, Franchise Compliance, a lot of the in the tunnel. For a brand to be effective, everyone has to be on the same page, support the brand, and act as one. And that's extremely important when we're talking about